For many years, there was someone in these pews who made her way back to the prayer station back there, the prayer station that we have recently brought back into our worship routine, the space available in the back corner there during communion where people go for prayers of healing. So this person would get up and walk back there like clockwork several times a year. And standing by the kneeler there, she would remind me that it was the anniversary of her baptism, or the anniversary of her confirmation, or the anniversary of her first communion. Her hair was gray by the time I met her, but her eyes were always so bright. So I would lay my hands on her head, and I would offer a prayer of thanksgiving for another day, for another year, for things given and things taken away. It was one of my very favorite rituals in this worship space. That person is gone now. I celebrated her funeral. But I miss those yearly reminders of the things we often take for granted. For this reason, the Apostle Paul says, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of hands. This is Paul's second and last letter to the young Timothy, one of his last letters in the New Testament. And yet this one doesn't quite read like the rest. For one, this letter is addressed to a single recipient. This is not a letter written to the churches in Ephesus or Philippi, to the churches in Galatia and Corinth or Rome. This letter is written to Timothy, and Timothy alone. Gone are the long diatribes about church conflict that populate many of the other letters. Gone are the extended arguments about this or that community and their faithfulness to Christ's teaching. Instead, in this letter, we get admonitions to the preacher as a young man, one of the many who will succeed Paul in the work ahead. You then, my child, Paul says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. It's as if Paul knows that it's almost time to hand the baton on. I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of hands. Touch is a powerful thing. It invokes intimacy, trust, and vulnerability. It is, after all, one of the ways we express love for those we hold dear. When practiced appropriately, it reminds us that we are living, breathing things, creatures meant to provide care, and creatures who are meant to receive care in return. It is no surprise, therefore, that physical contact is an essential part of many of our sacred rituals. In the baptismal liturgy, for example, the parents are often expected to hand the child off to the priest for the baptism, a symbol that the Christian community is also responsible and accountable for the care and protection of the young one, not just the child's parents and godparents. During healing prayers and last rites, the priest takes a bit of sacred oil on their thumb and anoints the person on the forehead with the sign of the cross, a reminder of Christ's presence with us even in times of deep sorrow. We make the same gesture on Ash Wednesday, but with ashes. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. What Paul is referring to in this letter, however, the kind of laying on of hands of which Timothy was a part, is probably best exemplified when a bishop is present in the worship space. On the day I was ordained a priest, for example, Bishop Ann Hodges Copple laid her hands on my head and said the following: Therefore, Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, give your Holy Spirit to Javier. Fill him with grace and power and make him a priest in your church. The clergy present in the service are often invited to lay their hands on the shoulders of the ordinand as the bishop says the prayer. It's a passing of the baton, the practice of raising up new leadership for a church that we may not see ourselves. Note how this laying on of hands is different than the rest I talked about earlier, where touch implies care and comfort and baptism and healing prayers. In the ordination service, touch is a call to action. It is an invocation of the Holy Spirit to empower somebody for good and meaningful work. But this is not reserved to the ordained. We could say the same about the laying on of hands that takes place at confirmation. We have confirmations coming up on October 30th, toward the end of this month. And so we had our adult confirmation retreat yesterday. And during that time, a few of us got together and we talked a little bit about what this laying on of hands implies, what it is that we are doing when we affirm our faith in front of the bishop and the rest of the Christian community. I like to remind families while we prepare for baptism that what we are saying in baptism is not so much that we choose God, but that God chooses us. So let me first make something clear here about what confirmation is by way of baptism. You do not get an extra share of the Holy Spirit at confirmation. The Holy Spirit that's bestowed upon us at baptism cannot be taken away, and you don't need anything more. Rather, what happens in baptism, long before we have a chance to mess things up, God has already marked us as Christ's own forever. That's why it's appropriate to baptize infants. There is a lot of life ahead of them, a lot of opportunities for them to mess up and miss the mark. What they will or won't do isn't the point. The point of that moment is that despite what you have done or have yet to do, God loves you anyhow. Now, what happens at confirmation then is that we affirm our end of the deal at a time when we can make a mature proclamation of faith. That's why confirmation is appropriate for young people at a time when they are coming to terms with who they are. Better said, with who they are becoming, which is a process that never ends, by the way. We're still becoming who we're meant to be, no matter how old we are. Confirmation is our public assent to the promises made at baptism, and as such, it is a lot like the ordination service. The truth, you see, is that we are all ordained into Christian ministry. You do not have to preach like Peter. You do not have to pray like Paul. The call isn't just for the ordained. The call is for all of us. And the faith passed down through the centuries through the laying on of hands of the bishop will only continue if you accept that call. Friends, I don't need to remind you that we live in a divided and broken world. I don't need to remind you of the pain and isolation that people experience daily. When we come together in this space, we affirm that we are meant for so much more. There aren't many places left in this world where we must interact with people who don't see eye to eye with us, where rather than just put up with our differences at a distance, we try to make space for those we have yet to meet. That is what being church means. And that is only possible when we all lean in and play our part. That is only possible when we take up the call to build this life together. In the words of the Apostle Paul, God did not give you a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. So lean in, my friends. Let's build a kind, just, and loving world together. And let us set an example through word and action, trusting that God will guide our steps as we entrust the faith to generations to come. Amen.